Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord on today. Praise God. We praise God for being here. This is the Summit with Minister Adam Tuggle right here on the Spirit Alive Network in Jesus' name right here on Blog Talk Radio in Jesus' name. We praise God for being here on this beautiful, beautiful Saturday afternoon. In Jesus' name, or Saturday morning, wherever you're listening to us from, in Jesus' name, it is nice over here, amen, right here. The sun is out shining in Indianapolis, Indiana, amen, and I hope that the sun is shining where you are, in Jesus' name, but I thank God for not only the sun shining outside, but the Spirit of the Lord is shining in my spirit, amen. We praise God new mercies. Amen. We praise God for this day in Jesus' name. I praise God for being here live on the air on today. We praise God for Bishop Cook for allowing us to come once again in Jesus' name. We give her honor, the watchman on the wall for this network in Jesus' name. We praise God for her. I give honor to every person that listens in to the Summit with Minister Adam Tuggle. Amen. We praise God for each and every one of you in Jesus' name. Amen. I thank God for today. Today, it has been a very, very blessed week. Amen. It has been a very blessed beginning of the month. February, I was blessed. Amen. March, I've been blessed, y'all. Amen. And even though we go through some things, we're still blessed. Amen. We're still underneath the blessings of God in Jesus' name. And I praise God for being under the blood of Jesus. Amen. I thank God for everything that he is doing in our lives in Jesus' name. I want to say this before we get started. I asked God... I was praying before the Lord. I was on my knees and asking the Lord to give me. Now, I'm saying this for a reason. And this is just a little side note. This is not the topic for today. But we all, as people of God, watch what you pray for. Watch what you pray for. Amen. The Lord will give you what you ask for, as long as it's in his will, amen, in his divine will, not his permissive will, but his divine will. I asked the Lord to give me a spirit that I would be able to be more faithful unto him and give me more of faith in him. And I've prayed this prayer before, and I went... The Lord does not just drop faith in you when you pray for it. He allows you to go through situations, and he allows you to go through tests to build up our most holy faith. Amen. And when he does this, some people, you know, they ask for things from God. They ask for wisdom. They ask for understanding. They ask for more faith. We have to understand that there is a price and there is a cost for what we ask for. Amen. I asked the Lord to build up my faith and asked him for some spiritual and natural things as well. And the Lord gave it to me. Amen. I praise God for starting a new position on my job. Amen. That's in the natural. Amen. But the spiritual things are most of what's most important. I asked the Lord to build up my most holy faith. And now, in this moment, in this hour,
And I'm not doing this for show or anything like that. I'm saying this to show us something. God will bless you when you go through. Amen. God will build up your faith as you go through. And he is building up my faith as I'm going through the test that I'm in. Amen. I went to the doctor on this past week, and the doctor gave me some good news and some bad news. Amen. I got some bad news. What he saw was bad news. But I praise God. I praise God I was able to look at my doctor once again and tell him, I thank you for your diagnosis. I respect you in your position. But that don't belong to me. Finders keepers. That's what you found it, you keep it. That don't belong to me. And I praise God that it has built up my faith once more. It has built up my faith once more, and I talked to my pastor about it, and I talked to my first lady about it, and they began to encourage me. And they said, well, if God can bring you through that, he can bring you through this. And I praise God that he is building up my most holy faith. Amen. And that's what brings us to today's topic today. I was listening to a preacher. I was happened to scroll through Facebook, and there was a video of this preacher, and he began to say that he was mad at the old church because the old church has not prepared us for the struggle, to go through struggle. Well, to that preacher, I'm not going to say the preacher's name, but if that preacher is listening, I'm here to tell you today, that's a lie. God has prepared us, and the old church did prepare us for struggle. If the word of God came from the old school church, the ones that, and I'm not talking about old school like this new school way. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the old school way where the mothers of the church would bring you to the altar, where the pastor would tell you, bring it to the altar and leave it there. Don't pick it up again. Where the pastor used to tell you, you need to eat the spinach. What I mean by eat the spinach is you need to eat the whole roll of God, not just bits and pieces. I'm talking about the old school way where preachers didn't preach watered down doctrine. I'm talking about they told you the truth because the truth will set you free. Amen. They didn't let any wind and doctrine come in their pulpits and preach. They didn't let any, just because you had a gift or a talent, they didn't let you use your gift and talent if you were not saved, if you were not living holy. I'm talking about the old way. The deacons used to lead us in devotions and have an anointing behind what they were doing. It wasn't just sounding brass and tinkling cymbals. The old school church taught truth. And they did teach us how to struggle. They taught us how to go through the struggle. And if I could title this topic today, it would be Prepared for the Struggle. Prepared for the struggle. The Lord has prepared us for struggles. If there was no test, then we would have no testimony. Now, today I'm talking to the people that are going through struggles or might go through struggles. I want you to hang on to this today because I don't know what people are going through, but I do know a mighty God is there for us. And God has prepared us for the struggle. God has prepared several things for our struggle, and I'm going to go through them. He has prepared your life for the struggle. He has given you he has equipped you with the power to go through the struggle. He has prepared a blessing at the end of the struggle. The struggle is not there to break you. The struggle is not there to destroy you. The struggle, Jesus, the blood of Jesus. I was getting ready to say the devil. The devil is a liar. The struggle is there to help us. The struggle is there to build up our most holy faith. The struggle is there to not only show God where you stand, but it is also to show where you to show you where you stand in Christ. We have two different types of people in the body of Christ. Ones that go through struggle and they go through it all the way, and it says, for God I live and for God I die. And then we have the others that say, well, I'm going through this. I'm going to put God on the back burner because he ain't doing nothing for me, and I'll pick him up once he starts doing stuff for me. Or we have the other side of it, the other side of that coin of, oh, well, I'm only going to praise him when I'm going through something. They don't give him praise on the mountaintop. They give him praise in the valley. And then once they get free, they like, okay, I'm done. We have to understand that through the struggle of life, through the struggles of life, through the test, through the valleys of life, he will be there for us. He understands your needs. He understands who you are. The I am that I am understands what you need, when you need it, how you need it. This is an encouragement today. We're not here to beat. We ain't here to, throw stones at people. We never throw stones. But I'm here to encourage you today that any time you go through a struggle, don't give up and don't give in, because God is yet there. There is a blessing waiting for you on the other side of the struggle. He has prepared us. Well, you might say, well, Minister Adam, how? I'm going through this, I'm going through that, my bills are sky high, and I don't know what to do. I don't know where to turn. Well, guess what? I'm here to tell you today, you're not the only one. You're not the only one. Because the devil will play with your mind and my mind if we let him, and say, oh, you're the only person going through it. No, you're not. You can't make it. Oh, yes, you can. Well, how do I know, Minister Adam, that I can make it? Well, let me show you. In Philippians 4:13, it says, I can do what? All things. Christ that strengtheneth me. Amen. In Psalms 91, let's go there. Psalms 91. Psalms 91 verses, Psalms 91 chapter, starting at verse 1. Amen. Starting at verse number 1. And we're going to read those scriptures. Amen. We're going to read the scriptures. We're going to go starting at verse 1, and we're going to read down to 12. And I want you to look at this, because when I heard this preacher say that the old school didn't prepare us for the struggle. Now, I'm going to say this, and I really, really mean this. I'm a part of the old school church. I was a child in the old school church, but I'm a part of the old school church. And the old school church taught us how to pray. The old school taught us how to live holy. The old school church taught us how to fast. The old school church taught us how not to give up, not to give in. Whatever is in front of you that might seem tedious in your life, then never give up. I've been through many struggles in my life. I've had times where I didn't know where the money was going to come from, and bills got paid. I've been on the mountaintop where everything was going good for me. I've been down in the valley where I didn't know how things were going to turn out. I didn't know when my healing was going to come. And we have examples in the Bible. Amen. The man with the withered hand. And I can attest to this. The man with the withered hand, he dealt with this, which we call as a disability. And the Lord used his disability to show his glory. And the things that we go through, we can say the same thing like the man with the withered hand. The withered hand was healed. He was healed to show off God's glory. Amen. And the things that we are faced with, the struggles that we go through are not there to kill us. They're not there to destroy us, but they're there to show off God's glory, and they're there to build up our most holy faith. They are there to show us that God is still able to do exceedingly and abundantly more than we can ever ask or think. We must understand that when we go through the struggle, we have been prepared to go through the struggle, because God said in his word that he will not put more on you than you can bear. Amen. And we must have a mindset when we go through the struggle, this is how we are prepared for the struggle. We must have a mindset of in the Bible, it tells us to think on these things. Why are we thinking on things that are pure? Why are we thinking on things that are lovely? Why are we thinking on things that are of a good report? Why? Why are we thinking on these things? The Bible says that if you keep your mind on him, he'll keep your mind in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon him. The songwriter says, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he has done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. I praise God for saving me. What is the true meaning of that song? Some of us live out that song, but we sing that song on Sunday, but we really don't know what that song really means until we go through the struggle. Will you really understand what them songs mean? When you can sing, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, it was love that lifted me. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, buried deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea, he heard my despairing cry, and from the waters he lifted me. Now safe am I. It was love that lifted me. What those songs and these scriptures, what do they really mean? Are we just quoting them? Are we really knowing when we say them, do we really know what they mean? Go through the struggle. That helps prepare us to go through the struggle. Reading the Word of God will help you go through the struggle. The old school church told us to read your word. Stay in the word of God. Tap into the voice of God. Tap into the voice of God. Tap into the word of God. Tap into the prayers. That's why man should always pray. Amen. Pray without ceasing. This is things that help us to help us get through the struggle. Fast. The Bible tells us to fast. These things will not be broken except through prayer and fasting. Some stuff can't be broken without prayer and fasting. Amen. This is the preparing. And you know what? When I heard that preacher say that the old church didn't get us prepared for struggle, let me tell you something. I'm here to tell you right now. Whoever thinks that way, I'm here to tell you right now. The old church got us prepared. But it's some of us, and I said I wasn't gonna do this, but this is the Holy Ghost. Some of us in the church, and I'm not talking about sinners right now, I'm talking about the church. Some of us know what's right and don't want to do what's right. Some of us have have been through the process of getting prepared for the struggle, but we have rebelled against the process. We have rebelled against the process. So we are not prepared because we have rebelled against the process. You are prepared for the struggle. It's hard to kick. That's why the Bible says it's hard to kick against the pricks. Amen? The Word of God, through the Word of God, it shows us to prepare. It helps us prepare for the struggles of life. It helps us prepare for the spiritual fight that we have to go through. It helps us prepare for the physical struggles we have to go through. We don't just go through spiritual struggles. We go through physical struggles too. We go through mental struggles. We go through emotional struggles. Every struggle that we go through is founded in the Word of God, how to get out of it. It's founded in the Word of God. God tells us and he encourages us. He does both. He tells us and he encourages us. That's why the Lord had me study about the word Christian and the word gospel. Do we really know what the word gospel means? Well, I'll tell you, and this is not in the lesson, but I'll give you a little golden nugget today. The word gospel is a preparing. The gospel of Jesus Christ prepares us. It prepares us for struggles. It prepares us for life. Just like a parent prepares their child to go out on their own, the Lord prepares us with the Word of God, with the gospel of Jesus Christ, to go out and live life. My father, when I decided to move out on my own, my father gave me his last bit of advice. And he said, you will not be able to do the same things that you do when you're living with us. Because I would go shopping. I had a little job, and I didn't have no bills. Only thing I had was a phone bill, and I thought I was something. Amen. But he told me. He said, Adam, you won't be able to go clothes shopping every week like you do here. You got to pay the bills. You got to make sure there's food in your house. You got to make sure that there's lights on. You got to do all this and do that. And if you got a car, you got to make sure you have gas in the car and all of this stuff. And that was preparing me. Me watching my father pay bills. Me watching my father go to work. Me watching my father and my mother do things. Do things for the house. And that's the same thing with God. God helps us to get prepared for the things of life. God helps us get prepared. And guess what? When we get out there in life, we can say, if we're really prepared if we're really prepared the way God prepares us, we can say, as Romans 8 and 28, we can then say Romans 8 and 28, and we know that all things work together for the good of them that love God and are called according to his purpose. All things work together. Does not matter how much money I have in the bank. See, the Holy Ghost done took over now. I don't care how much money I got in the bank. I know that God is able. I may not have enough money to pay this bill. And I might, look, the bill this much, the bill $400 and $500, and you got less than $100 in the bank. But I don't know where it's coming from. But Lord, I know that you're able. I serve a God that owns the cattle of 1,000 hills, that I can look to the hills from which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth. That's how I know that I can go through the struggle. He made a way out of no way. He's a bridge over troubled water. He's a burden bearer. Hallelujah. All your burdens, take them to the Lord, whether they be natural or spiritual. You got addictions in your life that you're trying to get out of. bring it to the altar. Bring it to him. He said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusted in him. Taste of him today. So you can go through the struggle. If you're struggling, bring your struggles to him. And let him put something on the inside of you. Let him put something on the inside. This was not in the lesson today. I ain't even got to the scripture yet. I'm just going by what the Holy Ghost gives to me. In Psalms 91, and I'm going to read that to you in your hearing. Amen. This helps us prepare for the struggle right here. Psalms 91, it says, verse number 1, it says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is what? My refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. Come on here. This is preparing us. But we have, look, the only way we'll be prepared for the struggle is if we do what God has called for us to do. That's why I said some people have rebelled against the process. Verse number 1, it was telling us, he that dwelleth in the secret place. The devil can't come. Your problems and the devil can't, and demons can't come up underneath. If you under the blood, they can't come there. See, what the devil does with your problems, let me show you something. What the devil, demons, and your problems do and your flesh does, it tries to drag you out from up underneath the blood. It tries to drag you out underneath what you are up under so it can pull you out and take you out. It can pull you. It wants to pull you out and take you out. They want to pull you out and take you out. But when you're in the secret place, can't nothing stop you. Can't no struggle, can't no demon, can't no devil from the pit of hell stop you. Your flesh can't stop you. Can't no addiction stop you. Amen. The Bible says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. What does that mean? That means you got all power. The power of the Holy Ghost lives on the inside of you, and you got the power to fight off the enemy. You got the power to fight off. Come on here. Look, I'm telling you now, and I got, you might say, well, this is a, how can you say this when you said at the top of the show that you got a bad report from the doctor? Look, I don't care. Now I care about, yes, I care, but I don't care about a bad report that I got from the doctor. I respect him in his position. I respect the doctor. I need my doctor because it tells me what to pray for. But I do not have to accept what he diagnosed me with. Just been diagnosed, and the reason why I can say that, because doctors been diagnosing me for years. Doctors have been diagnosing me for 34 years with this and that. But every time I trusted God, every time my parents have trusted God, and every time he's made a way and he's brought me out. He's brought me out. And I'm you think I'm crazy enough not to trust him now? I'm sharing this with you all because I want you all to see that whatever you go through, no matter the test, no matter the trial, no matter the report, whatever it is, you can make it. You can go through it. But you gotta have the power to go through. You gotta have the power. Amen. Acts 1 and 8 says, after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, ye shall have power. What is the power? The power to speak life. Hallelujah. To be able to speak life. To speak life over what man said was dead, over what the devil said was dead. To be able to speak, you can speak, you know what? You can speak life over yourself. Do you know you can speak death over the devil's, what the devil says to you? I do it all the time. I do it all the time now. I tell the devil, whatever he got for me, I speak death over it. It's dead. You ain't got no ground here. Whatever you done said, devil, whatever these demons trying to put in your mind, I speak death over it. It can't even come to pass because it's dead already. It's dead already. It's dead. It's dead by delivery. And I bind it, and I return it back to the pits of hell for which it came. We can't sugarcoat this no more. I'm tired. I'm spiritually frustrated. This is a spiritual frustration, and it's a godly frustration. I'm tired of the devil. I'm tired of the devil kicking us around, and we just taking it. No. You don't have to take what the devil gives you. You ain't got to take what, just because you got, I'm not taking it. You better stand up and fight. Get up. Saints, hear me today. Get up and fight for your life. Get up and fight for your family's life. Get up and fight. It's no time to lay down now. The coming of the Lord is right at hand. And I thank God. I praise God. I've been working with my children. I've been working with my children. And on a spiritual level, they've been going to Sunday school. You know, I teach the children Sunday school at my church. And every single Sunday, it seems like the lessons have been drawn towards repentance, baptism, and receiving the Holy Ghost. And I was wondering why, because I have there's a sister at my church that helps me with the children that's in the Sunday school class, and I'm asking her, I'm saying, sis, why? I'm like, every Sunday it seems like the Sunday school lesson we'll be teaching one thing, and then it goes off into repentance, baptism, and receiving the Holy Ghost. Why is it? And my sister said, well, maybe the Lord wants us to just continue to teach on repentance, baptism, and receiving the Holy Ghost. I said, when the Lord keeps bringing something back up, not knowing, now watch this, not knowing that my pastor was teaching on the rapture. Uh-huh. He's been having a Sunday school series on the coming of the Lord. And the first thing that he taught was repentance, baptism, and receiving the Holy Ghost. But as I was teaching these children, and you know, when you teach children, you got to come down to their level. Amen. You got to come down to their level. And I was teaching it at a level that they could understand it. And they understood it. Both of my children, my two oldest boys, were one was baptized last year during the summer. And I was thanking God. Well, this past Thursday, my oldest son and my nephew went down in Jesus' name. And I'm claiming that they received the Holy Ghost. They repented, and they went down in Jesus' name. And they could fully, and what I do is what I deal with children is, as I ask them, why do you need baptism? And they're able to explain it back to me, why they need it. Amen? And they're able to tell me, what they're able to find it in Scripture and tell me why they need it. Amen? So I know that they're understanding what they're doing. Because you don't want to just tell a child, you know, you need to do this because of this. You want to give some explanation on why they need to do it. Amen. But I said that to say this. I thank God for moving underneath the unction of the Holy Ghost. When you move underneath the unction of the Holy Ghost and you move the way God tells you to move, you'll be prepared for the struggles of life. That's why I brought that out. Amen. When you move in the avenue of the way of the Lord, you will get better results when you go through the struggle. Amen. When you move through the, come on here. I'm gonna stop right there because this is getting good. Amen. If you have any questions, any comments, any concerns, if you want to leave a comment, I would love for you to interact with us. Call in, come to the message board, and we will answer any questions. If you have a comment, if you want to be live on the air, you can call in Jesus' name, and you'll be live on the air in Jesus' name. But I want to finish reading this. Amen. And surely he shall deliver thee. And this is Psalms 91, verse number 3. And he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisy pestilence. And he shall cover thee with his feathers. And under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrows that flyeth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Amen. And this is why it should not come nigh thee. Verse number 9. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. This is how we get prepared for the struggle. Amen? The struggle does not come to kill us. Amen. God knows every avenue of your life, whether you put yourself there or whether God allows you to. Any way it goes, God makes the way. God makes the way for us. Amen. He makes the way. Amen. He loves us enough. He loves us enough. Amen. He loves us enough to tell us, but we have rebelled against the process. There is a purpose for your struggle as well. Like I said, it's to show us where we are in Christ. It is to build us up in our most holy faith. It is to show off the glory of God. Amen. I mentioned the man with the withered hand. I can attest to that. Anybody that knows me and knows about me knows I have a disability. And you think, well, you know, that's how I know God prepares us for the struggle. That's how I know. Now, you're listening to a young man that's been diagnosed with heart disease at birth, born with it. Doctors have been diagnosing me with illness of heart disease and other things for years. One of those doctors that diagnosed me is dead today, to show you how much doctors know. They said I was going to die before them. And I'm not speaking death over nobody, but I'm just saying, I'm using this as an example. The example is that God has the final say over the struggle that you're in. God has the final say. There is nothing that can be done without his approval. And you might say, well, I know where you're going with this. Uh-huh. The reason why I know nothing can be done, no struggle can happen without God's approval. If we look at the struggle of Job, if we look at the struggle with the woman with the issue of blood, if we look at the struggle with Daniel in the lion's den, if we look at the struggle with the three Hebrew boys, if we look at, come on, if we look at the struggle with Gideon and his army, if we look at the struggle, even if we look at the struggle of Moses, there are nothing, Moses had a speech impediment. Amen? He had a physical struggle. These are all physical, mental, emotional struggles. Spiritual struggles as well. Well, how can you say that these are all spiritual struggles? They're all spiritual struggles. They're all spiritual struggles. Because they got a spirit attached to them. If you're dealing with a disability, a physical disability, that's the spirit of cerebral palsy. That's a spirit. You blind, spirit. Deafness, that's a spirit. And it's a demonic spirit. It's a wrong spirit. Just like people are demon possessed. That's a spirit. Amen? And we got to deal with it. And if you see, look, and I'll give this example. I've noticed, and this is what a pastor one time said, if you see certain things happening in one area multiple times, usually there's a spirit in that area. For example, if you see on the news that somebody or multiple people have been killed in one area, there's a spirit of violence over there in that area. There's a spirit of murder in that area. It is. Spirit of violence. The struggle. God has given us the power to go through the struggle. How do I know? Because he sent the word. Look, like I said before, the gospel of Jesus Christ is the word of God. He is his word. It is him. The gospel is him. Amen. In John chapter 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was God, and the word was with God. He was his word. He is the gospel. And look, let me show you this. The gospel helps us get through the struggle. When he brings the word down from heaven, when he puts it in the preacher's mouth, or he brings it from the Bible when you're reading it, or he brings a word of knowledge through you to somebody through prayer, or he speaks audibly or whatever, he's bringing the word to you to help you go through the struggle. He's preparing you for the struggle. You've been prepared. That's why I can say you've been prepared for the struggle. But the gospel is two things. The gospel is two things. And this is not a lesson. This is a nugget for you. The gospel of Jesus Christ is two things. It is an anointed story, and it is an anointed instruction. I'm going to say it again. The gospel of Jesus Christ, which we preach and talk about, is the anointed story of Jesus Christ, and it is the anointed instructions of Jesus Christ. This Bible is an instruction manual for our lives. It is told through stories that Jesus told the disciples about, the men that wrote the word of God. He told the story of the gospel. Amen? He told the story of the gospel. Well, how did God tell the story to the disciples? Because I can tell you, And I can attest to this. Because John is no longer living, but John wrote Revelations, poured into him what to write. It is the story of the Word of God told to us, told to them. Amen. And yet it is instructions to do what must be done before he comes. The term Bible, the word Bible, B-I-B-L-E, they stand for basic instructions before leaving earth. It's an instruction manual to how to live life so you can make it through the struggle. So the preacher that has stated, the old church didn't prepare us for the struggle. Let me tell you something. Supposed to be man of God, whatever you want to call yourself, bishop, whatever you want to call yourself. I'm here to tell you, the old church did prepare us for the struggle. And this topic did not come for me to bash preachers or anything like that. The Lord had me study the Word of God because I was curious. I'm like, wait a minute, that's not right. That's not right. And that's why I don't listen to television ministers anyway. And that's me personally. That's just personally me. I don't. Because I don't like picking bones out of my food. I don't like picking bones out of my food. And that was a pick bones out of a food moment. Because I knew that was a lie. Because what my former pastor and what my current pastors have taught me, mainly my former pastor, because those are the saints of old. Amen. That's the church of old. Amen. That's the old school church. My former pastor was part of the old school church. And I guarantee you, Pastor Dorothy McGordon, amen, God rest her soul, she taught highly about life. She was a life preacher. She was a life teacher. She taught us about life. She taught us how to even do natural stuff with the Word of God and still stayed on target with the truth. She taught us about love. And my current pastor, Pastor William A. Tuggle III and First Lady Cosette Trotman Tuggle, shout out to them. They teach about life. Amen. My former pastor used to teach. She taught a financial class. She taught a financial class using the Word of God. So everything we need, both naturally and spiritually, is in the Word of God. We can go through the struggle. We're prepared for the struggle. It's just that, Are you taking in the things? Are you taking it in when you're going through the process of getting prepared for the struggle? I gave the example of my father and my mother talking to me, telling me, hey, look, you're not going to be able to do this when you get out there. When you go out there as a saint of God living the truth, because as a baby in Christ, you know, the pastor, they baby you. They give you the sincere milk of the Word of God. They don't give you strong meat yet. Why? Because if you give a baby strong meat, I mean a month old baby strong meat, they're gonna choke. That's why the baby gets milk. That's why the baby gets a warm bottle. They get Pampers. But some of these saints, oh my God, they've been saved 14, 15 years, 15, 20 years, and they still in diapers on the sincere milk of the Word of God, and it should not be so. These are the people that are crying out, oh, I ain't been prepared for the struggle. Yes, you have. You just rebelling against the process. You trying to upchuck the Word of God out of your spiritual life. the pastor giving you, the pastor keeps pacifying you and giving you the sincere milk of the word of God. When you are a babe in Christ, a sincere babe in Christ, and you took the sincere milk, and when the strong meat came, you started throwing it up back up, started denying it. No, that ain't all of it. That you did. It didn't take all that. It doesn't take all that no more. You denying it. Amen. You cannot do that. That's why you're not prepared for the struggle. And I believe, and this is my own personal opinion, amen, this is not Bible, this is not from the Lord, this is my own personal opinion, so y'all could take it or leave it. But I believe that's why that pastor said that, because she denies now what they had been taught years ago. Amen. Because if that's why the Bible says contend for the faith. Stay in the faith. Stay in the faith. Because there's ungodly men that's crept in unaware, trying to tell us that it don't take all that no more. Yo, yes, let me tell you something. If you hear a pastor or a preacher tell you, and this is just another nugget, another golden nugget for you. If you hear a pastor or a preacher or a saint of God, for that matter, tell you it don't take all that no more, I want you to tell them this. Oh, yes, it does. In the world we live in, it takes all that and more. It takes all of that with the old school church. Do you not know that the old school church, you might say, well, you're defending the old school church like it. Yes, I am, because I'm a part of that. I was a part of that as a baby. I got saved underneath the old school church. I am defending it. I am defending. You bring yourself to the altar. You do not act like the world trying to, a church does not need to act like the world to try to draw the world. You can't do that. That is profane preaching. And profane preaching ain't going to do nothing but get one thing. That only gets you one thing. And you're gonna open up the gates of hell for yourself if you keep playing. Because God is tired of playing. People playing church and playing church and playing church. It's time to stop playing church. Recess is over. It's time to get real now. Because the Lord is on his way back. And I'm telling you now, if you are caught with your works undone, you might as well not even think about going to heaven. You might as well not even think about it. Put it in your mind. If you a sinner today, get the Holy Ghost. Get it while it's freely given. If you in holiness, stand on holiness. If you living up underneath your most holy faith, live up underneath your most holy faith and go on. Because it's going to come a time. There's going to come a time in your life where you're going to need this. And I'm going to say this. I ain't even going to say it the way my former pastor said it. I ain't going to say, hold on to what I'm teaching you, because this ain't my word. I can't give you something that I did not create. Because this is not my word. This is God's word. But you hold on to what God is teaching us. Hold on. We talked about it a couple weeks ago. Hold on and let go. If you join me on Facebook, the Lord has been blessing me to be able to go on Facebook live every Monday through Friday and pray for people. And pray for situations. And I'm doing that until the Lord says stop. Amen. But I thank God. We need to go back to the old school way. Because the old school church, I'm telling you now, the way they did it, they have more power than what we got. I'm just going to be honest with you. Why you think people were delivered, honestly delivered, not partly delivered, not delivered at the altar and then going back 5 minutes later when they sit down, they back in the same rut that they in. Why you think that people nowadays are leaving out the same way they came in and they ain't coming back because they haven't found what they're looking for when they should be? The old school church made them, when they brought them up there to the altar, they let them sit there and get done with being endued with power from on high. They didn't let them just speak in tongues for 5 to 10 minutes. They let them linger in the spirit. They let them linger in the Shekinah glory. I remember services that we used to be, it used to look like we was drunk, staggering all over the place. That's the kind of church I want. That's the kind of church I need when the word of God pricks your heart and I got to ask, what must I do to be saved? What do I got to do to get this right so I can go to heaven? That's the kind of word we need. And that's the kind of word that needs to stay. But God told me a couple weeks ago, he's getting ready to put the last, as he said in the word, he's getting ready to make the first last and the last first. He's getting ready to bring holiness back to the forefront. And all of these false preachers that got these pulpits, they're getting ready to be knocked down, whether they be on TV or not. You watch what I say. God's going to start exposing these unholy, ungodly preachers that are preaching false doctrine. You watch what I tell you. God is tired, and this is a word from the Lord, and you can take it or leave it. And anybody else that's listening to these preachers and knowing that the truth ain't in them, and you're still going along with them, God's going to expose you. God's going to expose them. For the ones that are not, the ones that say they holy and the ones that ain't living holy, God's going to expose you. You better be careful. Saints of God people that keep saying that they want to be saved and they keep coming to church and saying that they want to be saved, but they don't want to give up. God going to expose you. I'm telling you now. Today, this morning, I had a dream and it was a terrifying dream. God's going to expose some people. God is going to expose these false preachers. He's going to bring them down. When he exposes them, their ministry is going to come down. Them television evangelists, some of them, all of them that are not preaching in the truth, that are not preaching holiness, he's going to bring them down. You watch what I tell you. He's going to bring them down. At the end of it all, he's going to bring them down. In Jesus' name. I hope this topic has blessed you on today. I pray that you have a phenomenal, phenomenal rest of your weekend. In Jesus' name. I hope that this has been an encouragement unto the people of God and unto the saints of God and unto people in general. God bless you. I love you all in Jesus' name. As it states in Acts 2:38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. This is the only way to see the Lord's face in peace. This is the only way to see the Lord's face one day. God bless you. I love you. This is the Summit with Minister Adam Tuggle right here on the Spirit Alive Network, right here on Blog Talk Radio. And until next week, if you do not hear my voice again, I will see you in the rapture of the church. God bless you in Jesus' name. Bishop Cook, thank you for allowing us to come once again. In Jesus' name, we honor you on tonight. God bless you in Jesus' name.